Hello and welcome to our 11th episode of Read Comics.
That's always a good thing.
I'm Marty.
I'm Jason.
I'm Florence.
I'm Jen.
Jen is here with us for the first time.
Hello.
We are at Convergence.
Yay.
On day four of Convergence.
Back in Minneapolis.
Make it stop.
Sorry.
Last time we recorded, we were in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for Wizard World to begin. We've since done Wizard World, and the very next weekend, we're back at another huge... Oh, my God.
Yeah, not a lot of foresight there for us.
I am nerded out.
Yeah, I got pretty burned out in conventions, so I took Friday off completely.
Hey, but what are we going to do next weekend?
Anything we want.
I'm going to go
watch
softball.
Same thing we do every weekend. Try and take over the world.
So yeah, we had the best of intentions of podcasting at Wizard World, and we just got busy with doing everything and not actually talking about it.
Mostly just buying books.
Yes, lots of buying at Wizard World. Less buying at Convergence, luckily.
Yeah, what was our biggest issue with all that we bought at Wizard World?
Fitting it all in the trunk.
Two lockboxes.
Are you serious?
In addition to
well,
what we
between
arrived
the four of us.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, plus all of our luggage, and then there was four of us in the car, so it was pretty packed in the car already.
So it was a successful trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I did on my day off on Friday was catch up on budget, make sure that nothing bounced, and that we only rent this month.
Wait, that nothing bounced?
Bounced. Okay. Rather. Yeah.
I was going to say, if nothing balanced,
that would
make life so much easier if you know... If nothing balanced.
So, let's do a quick Wizard World wrap-up.
Yes.
Give us your impressions of Wizard World, Florence.
Well, this is my second time going, although the first time we went one day for just a few hours. And then I had enough at that point.
You didn't go to any panels either, did you?
No, we didn't. We just got a day pass, went kind of wandered around the dealer's room, went to Artist Alley, met David Mack, which was a big turning point, because David Mack so utterly charmed me and the rest of us that that was kind of a destination for going back and for taking the time to meet other artists. But this time we went to buy stuff and to go to panels and to meet more artists and get more things that we could pay the artists directly. I thought that was kind of the most exciting part of the convention for me. So this time we went for 3-day passes, which really meant getting early on the fourth day.
The first day, before the three days started, right.
Which was really the best time to be there
because
it was so much. I mean, it was so much more empty and less a zoo, and everyone was more accessible.
Yeah, sure, people still had energy.
There were about half the artists weren't there yet.
Yes, but that made it easier for us to actually go walk through it, though, and make it more more digestible in one visit. So yeah, I thought Thursday was my favorite day for that. We didn't get any of the cheap sales yet. We didn't really get into buying anything that day, but we just kind of wandered and enjoyed ourselves and got to meet creators and got a lot of free stuff from the DC booth. Really went around and got all the freebies we could that day.
Swag is always good.
Yes.
They kept having new buttons out, like, as the con progressed, though. Like, if you wanted to get all of the DC buttons, you had to keep going back. Or go to the DC panels or things like that.
The only freebies I cared about were the actual comics.
Well, yeah, I had already gotten, like, all those comics. Or at least read them.
Yeah.
Like, the Vertigo one was House of Mystery number one, which I had bought already.
Susie had already bought that one, too. Yeah, she's disappointed. Although I think that after all that we spent and all that we now have to find room for in our shelves, we need to take a note from you, Jason, and read more that we're not buying.
The libraries are wonderful.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Well, I do have to say, in listening to you guys' podcasts and the mention of all the stuff that you're finding at the libraries, it has kind of motivated me to, it's like, you know, even though it's small town library from where I'm at, it's like, I really need to get over there and start checking stuff out and see what they have. And support them, too.
Yeah.
Or, you know, move into civilization.
Well, and we're working on that.
I see Brian over there rapidly nodding his head.
Yes.
Brian is the silent observer of this week's podcast.
Yes, dear.
Well, my Wizard World, I kind of wandered on my own for the most part. And then I also met up with the podcasters from Comic Book Queers and wandered with them quite a bit.
We met a lot of other podcasters.
We did, all throughout the week of Chicago.
Mostly thanks to Jason, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm the one who listens to the other comic book podcasts. So.
Wait, there are other comic book podcasts? Yeah.
Well, and not to do a side note, but why weren't, just because I go through the iTunes download, they had a whole thing on the comics podcast, and I'm like, well, where are you guys?
Wait, they had a whole thing? What are you talking about?
They had, you know how they do the different spotlights, and they showcase, you know, like, podcasts of this, you
genre.
Know, self-help or whatever, podcasts.
How many do they spotlight?
You know, I don't know. They had, I think they had, like, 2 pages worth that you could go through, but...
One thing we learned is that there are probably hundreds of comics podcasts out there right
okay.
now, and so
yeah.
the newer ones are just aren't making it to any list yet.
Okay.
Also, they generally don't spotlight ones that don't have, like, nice cover art in their entry
okay.
in iTunes. So
somebody
we need to get someone
cover
to...
Art.
Yeah, we need to get a nicer thing for iTunes.
I can possibly help with that.
That's true.
I mean,
you do
know?
New world design and stuff.
Yes, Mike did a brilliant job with our art
for the
webpage.
Yep. Yep, I love that.
But every little bit
so, helps. Yeah, I can try working something up.
So... We met the podcasters from Around Comics, and we met the podcasters from Comic Book Queers, and then we also went to the podcasting panel at Wizard World.
Well,
which
we also
had
dinner with Raging Bullets.
Oh, we did, yes. We
yeah.
had dinner with the people from Raging Bullets, and there was someone, Darth Kramer, who does the Sandman podcast, Shades Journal. He was there that night.
I don't think I ever really got introduced to anyone in terms of what podcast they did. I just met groups of people, and I knew that they were podcasters.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's weird, because I met all these other podcasters, and it really felt like I knew them, even though I had never met them before, just from listening to them for so long. For, you know, about a year now, I've been listening to them once or twice a week, and also... having, like, back and forth with them on their forums as well. So it's kind of like, you know, they knew who I was from posting on the forums. They know me from my, you know, my handle on the forums and everything.
Yeah,
and I know them from...
Dr. Bombay.
They all know me as Dr. Bombay, yes. And it's this really weird thing where you really feel like they're your friends, even though they... To be honest, they don't know
yeah.
who you are.
Well, but it was really thrilling. I mean, there was one point where Marty and I were on our own going to meet up with you, and we ran into someone from a podcast panel from the convention, and we're kind of making small talk with him, and we said which podcast we were from. He said, oh, yeah, I've listened to you. And I got all the it was because of you. I mean, we'd said, like, we know Jason, blank look, and then we said Dr. Bombay. He said, oh, yeah, that's how, you know, that's what I've seen posted on it.
Do you remember who that was?
It was actually, he was on the panel,
he does a solo podcast.
Thanks for putting me on the spot, Jason.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, he was a great
Do you
friend.
Recall if he was on the left side or the right
side?
The left
side.
Left side.
He was on the left side. He did the solo stuff, and it was the guy on the leftist side.
Oh, wait, the furthest left?
Not all the way to the left.
Okay,
because
that was Stevie D.
There were two, yeah, exactly, it wasn't Stevie B. There were two guys on the left that did solo podcasts. And
okay.
It was the leftermost.
The
leftermost.
All right.
So.
I know there's pictures. I
barrel
wine
for a second here. Should we have a forum on our site?
Well, we have the blog. Okay, well, here's a moment to invite everybody who's listening to us to post to the forum. forum/blog. You might notice that Martin contributes most of the posts, and that is because he's very kind and interesting and wants to keep it alive. But in fact, we would love it if there were as many, many posts from many different people every day. It's not a personal blog. It's really more of an open forum. So feel free to post, and also to send us emails at podcast@readcomics.org, because we would love to develop more of a two-way conversation with anyone who happens to be listening to us as well.
Right, but so the question is, if, I mean... if people would respond in a forum that probably wouldn't respond as a like response to a specific blog post or, you know.
I mean, the comments is kind of a, I mean, that's kind of opening up a thread, right?
It's a way of doing it. I mean, they are two different animals that kind of look similar. They're of the same species, maybe, but they are, the mechanics are different. We're recording at Convergence, where we've kind of tried to find the quietest place in the building.
But people are accumulating and making noise. I think I'm going to ask them nicely some more.
The muscle is going to go go flex.
I don't know, that's crazy.
I don't know if this is going to work.
I think that's really silly. But anyway, we are in Consuite, but it doesn't really matter.
So, as we're
watching the
flex. We're waiting for the blows to fall.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Oh my god, did you see that punch? Sorry.
Florence threw the smack down. But, you know.
Anyway.
I guess you're going to a panel, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, so other Wizard World stuff.
I was thinking we should leave the Wizard World recap for...
Until
Mike and maybe Susie are with us.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. Although we did buy so many comics there that I've already started reading, so that's pretty much the majority of the comic commentary I have right now is post-Wizard World.
Yeah, that's true. So I bought all the Planetary because I was really excited about that, and Florence has devoured it.
Really?
I'm only on the second trade, and I just read the whole thing.
You went and saw Robert Kirkman, and you got all excited about his stuff.
And I
know
Walking Dead today, yeah.
You bought the Walking Dead trades. What are you thinking of Walking Dead?
Well, I'm halfway through the first trade, Rick, as of today. You're right. It is violent and gross a little bit, but... And his forward was a little bit intimidating because he basically said he's disappointed in the zombie movies that end so early, and he's determined to make this the zombie movie that will never, ever end. So,
and that's something to strive for?
Yeah. So I'm a little bit worried that now that I have bought a handful of trades at this comic convention without really knowing the title yet, that I have now sunk myself into reading it forever. But it is compelling, and it's well-written, and the main character is kind of a tool, but he promises that he will have a long and interesting arc, character development, so I'm in it for a while. We'll see.
I stopped reading after the fifth trade. I had been getting them from the libraries, and I had the sixth trade out from the library, and I couldn't read it. I could not bring myself to read it. I had it sitting there, usually covered up by something else so I wouldn't have to look at it. And
it's a zombie.
It's zombies.
But written by a really insane art writer.
And
you can't stand the sight of zombies?
Eventually,
a zombie, like...
Alright, we've already covered this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It comes up almost every podcast.
I returned it unread, but issue 50 just recently came out.
And it was discussed, actually, in his panel.
Okay, and I went ahead and read issue 50. And it was...
To give everything away?
Well, see, the thing is that issue 50 was for a milestone issue. I read it in less than 5 minutes. I mean, seriously, it's like page, 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 and you're done. Not to, like, kind of ruin anything, but you have 48 issues to get there, and you'll have forgotten everything I said.
Well,
but
I
didn't
know
like,
one major spoiler from
in
that.
Issue 50... Nothing really happens. I mean, seriously, nothing happens.
Well, he did make the comment that when he started it, he didn't know how long it was going to go. And he said, you know, at some point he's going to run out of ideas. And by issue 75, he's going to have to bring in aliens. And he said, now he's gotten to issue 50 with no end in sight. And he's like, and now I have to figure out how to get aliens in there by 75.
Well, and you figure when Sandman first came out, I'm sure there was people that thought along the similar lines. It's like, my God, is this ever going to end? You know, it keeps going and going. But
he brought it around.
He brought it around, and, you know, that was an awesome series.
Well, and at some point, I mean, it's just hard to imagine survivors lasting indefinitely in the world that I've just started to be introduced to, where the majority of people are already zombies. So I don't really understand how, like, forever really figures into this world. At some point, they're either humans or they're not, you know?
Well, and Brian had brought up an interesting point, because we were kind of talking about, you know, there's so many zombie movies from the point of the survivors.
Mm-hmm.
What about the zombie movies from the point of the zombies? You know, you have so many zombies around and only a few humans left, and, you know, what that struggle
you
to
know,
survive.
The Omega
actually,
Man is kind of...
Oh, yeah, that's true. The Omega Man. What I was going to say is there is another series by Devil's Due, and I don't remember what it's called. I think it's by Devil's Due. And it is that story, basically, where you have the zombies starting to develop a culture. Like, you have...
Really?
I don't know if it's the next generation of zombies, because they don't really reproduce in an evolutionary manner. But you have...
Do they eat each other?
Not in Marvel Zombies.
Okay, would that still be
terrible.
Considered cannibalism if zombies eat zombies?
I don't know.
I mean, what would the status be on that?
In the Marvel Zombies comics, they actually do try and eat each other once in a while, and they decide that it's the worst tasting thing in the world, and so they can't eat each other.
So but, what's... I'm sorry, not to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
What's the comic from the zombies' point of view? Or
I don't remember. It's from Devil's Due Publishing, I think.
Okay. Devil's Due. I'm writing this down.
Jen's making
right.
notes.
Well, another note from Walking Dead, from having read Robert Kirkman's introduction, is he kind of says, you know, this isn't a horror comic. If you're scared, great, that's fine. But he really wants to be telling a bigger story with social commentary and character development. And I mean, that's the kind of thing that interests me. So.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, he says it's not a horror comic. Well, the way the people treat each other in it is pretty horrific.
Right, he's not necessarily... He basically says he's not trying to avoid that, but that's not his goal.
And I mean,
it's sort of incidental to what his goal is in telling zombie stories.
And that's almost one of the things that has turned me off the most from it, isn't even the zombies attacking people. It's how the remaining humans treat each other.
Interesting, because I haven't really gotten to that yet.
Yeah, yeah. That whole...
Okay,
I won't say anything.
And you know,
too.
That might put me off as well. We'll see. I'm almost feeling like this is already on my list of kind of my biggest regret of the convention. It was buying 7 of these without really knowing whether I'd like it. And it was one of those impulse, you know, I was half off and I got caught up in the moment. And yeah. So it's very possible that I'm going to end up with all of these without actually liking them and feeling compelled. I read them anyway.
Well, you mentioned, I'm going to segue if that's all right.
That's fine.
You mentioned Neil Gaiman, and earlier today I was in a panel that I went to solely because it was the last panel with Marv Evanier. Mark Evanier. Evanier, or perhaps Evanier. We don't know.
That's a French term.
We have no idea how to pronounce his name.
I think I do, but
Jason thinks he does. Maybe he's right. And, and he said, and I asked at the end of the panel, he had time for one more question, and I asked what he was reading and what's his favorite current comics, and he did not have an answer, but he said that he reads everything Neil Gaiman writes. But I think mostly that's because they're friends, and he calls him, he says he was, like, you know, teaching in class one day, and a student raised her hand and asked a question about a Neil Gaiman comic that he hadn't read. He teaches, like, comic writing and also, like, humor writing, I think, as well. And, he didn't know the answer. And his phone rang just then, and he looked at it, and it was Neil Gaiman. He said, "Actually, hold on, I'll find out the answer."
Nice.
Coolest teacher ever.
Yeah, exactly.
No kidding.
Nothing gave him the, like, cool teacher crest like having Neil Gaiman on the phone to ask questions.
Calling him, nonetheless. Not that he had to call Neil Gaiman, that Neil Gaiman was calling him.
It's pretty hilarious.
Which kind of makes you wonder, does, like, Neil Gaiman, is he tapped into the universe? It's like, Mark is talking about me. Mark has a question.
Well, you know,
you should call him.
There are some things that are just a little bit too strange to figure out with him. That could be the case.
Well, you know, this actually, to me, segues into writers and art creators that we find personally charming, that kind of connect us more to the work. Because that was one of the really interesting things about Wizard World for me, was not just in Artist Alley, but also in the panels. I really enjoyed seeing people speak and feeling like I had more of a connection with them. And I mean, Robert, the reason I bought a stack of Walking Dead comics is because I had just seen Robert Kirkman kind of just riff by himself for an hour. He didn't have a panel backing him up. And he kind of heckled the audience, but in a very charming, self-effacing kind of way. And I just wanted to read everything he ever wrote after that. Like, I just walked out of that really being even more of a fan. And I already liked Invincible a lot, but I hadn't really read much anything else he'd written.
Well, I have all those Battle Pope as well.
See, I had a little of that and hated it, so it's certainly possible that it's only Invincible that I like from him. But
you might like Marvel Team-Up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very much Marvel Universe. It's very much capes and costumes and stuff, and it starts out with Spider-Man, and but yeah, it's Marvel Team-Up, and it's by Robert Kirkman, and it's fun. It's fun. It actually introduced a gay superhero in Marvel Team-Up called Freedom Ring, which is kind of a crap name.
Yeah.
So what was the ring exactly?
The ring was a...
I think I know your name.
This was a DC comic. Or this was a Marvel comic. The ring itself was a bit of the cosmic cube. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know. Check out. But that's kind of interesting. Cosmic cube.
The cosmic cube that was forged for the Mandarin, but it escaped his possession, and this guy found it, and it gave him vast powers.
And then he made a ring out of it?
No.
Well, you know,
part
a
of the
cube,
cosmic cube
you carry around
was forged into a ring.
Ah, okay.
For the Mandarin. Because
Mandarin's all about the rings.
Mandarin from Iron Man.
Yeah,
comics.
The bad guy from Iron Man.
Not the movie. Although probably the next Iron Man.
Maybe, yeah. That could have been him in the first one. But
well, there were references to him.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't mean to.
Anyway, sorry.
As you've made a ring out of your bit of honey wrapper.
Aww.
I have. Yeah, I have a little... It's a power ring. It's sweet. It's
the bit of honey power ring.
Has it also made you gay? Should I be wearing?
Yeah, where's Bridget?
Okay, that's a little in-joke because...
Yeah,
that's a story that we're not going to tell.
Yeah,
okay.
Anyway.
If anyone wants to know the story, they have to actually email
there you
or
go.
Post and ask about why Marty Florence...
Why Bridget thinks I'm gay?
Well,
that's a good question. But
wait, you mean you're not?
So, Convergence. We've all been at Convergence. It's the last day. What have we thought about Convergence other than we're all over it?
I'm not over it. We're still here. We're not over it.
Yeah,
that's true.
And what are... No.
Jason was on, like, a bazillion panels.
Yeah, you didn't tell us.
I was on four panels.
You were...
I was
How many were you signed up for?
I was on five. But I only made it to four. Because the first night, Thursday night, I got here... I had made plans with some people that I had forgotten about. And I also kind of freaked out a little bit when I got to the convention. It was already packed, and it was loud, and I hadn't slept well the night before. And I was tired, and I got here, and I looked around, and I'm like, I did this last weekend. I can't stay.
Yeah. And sadly, I had the same reaction, but I'm like, but Jason's on a panel, and we've got to support our friends.
That's true.
So
and
I stayed that night despite, like, hating it.
Well,
so then I learned my lesson and didn't go to any of the others.
And Marty...
So from now on, it's screw the friends, you're on your own!
Marty told me that you weren't coming that night, so I'm like, when I left, I was like, it doesn't matter, because no one's going to be here that knows me. So listen, and that panel that night was GLBT, Science Fiction and Fantasy... that everyone should read. And it was mostly covering books in a book club hosted by the North Country Galaxians that I had never been to that book club. So I really didn't know what any of the books were or what to talk about. The other panels I did were GLBT comic book characters. That was probably the most well-received one. I was on one, it was called Days of Rocket Summer, and it was all about young adult, or well, not really young adult, children's detective and adventure fiction, like Encyclopedia Brown, and like Mad Scientist Club, and Danny Dunn, things like that. I was on one about non-genre movies that you should see. And let's pause this real quick.
Yeah.
Do I just hit space?
We'll just cut it out later.
You know,
we have a belly dancer who's going to be walking by.
You guys should make
seconds.
Well, it was a little girl.
You should make a sign that you could put on the top of your laptop that says, "Quiet, please, podcast."
Yeah, there's
progress.
No quiet, please.
Yeah, no, we have no control.
But at least, you know, since it's like facing out, if people looked over it, they could at least...
We just had a...
Well, trying to be polite.
Yeah.
So, quiet, damn it!
There was that one. There was the non-genre movies you should see, which is basically... Watch Casablanca. It's really good.
Okay.
Seen it.
Oh, whatever.
Seen it.
And then Saturday morning cartoons made me gay.
Which ironically, was... during the Saturday morning cartoons time frame to which he bitched.
Who decides to put a panel for gay people at 9:30 in the morning?
Oh.
Don't they know that we're up all night long partying and going to the bars and doing drugs and all that kind of stuff? I mean, please. The only way we know 9:30 is if we're still awake.
Were you there?
Oh.
Only physically?
Yes.
What did you learn?
The body was there, the mind was there.
I learned not to... I learned to look closely at when the panels are and not do 9:30 panels. it wouldn't have been that bad if I had been staying in a hotel, but to save money, I commuted back and forth, which on a scooter, going from near downtown Minneapolis out to here is about a half-hour drive on the scooter.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't fun.
Yeah. Made Matt tired.
Brian has made us a sign.
Aww,
that says,
thanks,
STFU, podcast in progress. So now everyone who walks by will hate us. But fortunately, they don't know which podcast we're doing. So
they'll be boycotting every podcast in hopes of screwing us.
I went to a podcasting panel this weekend here at Convergence.
Yeah, how was that?
It was good. It was very technical. And there were lots of people in the audience who were asking, how do I do a podcast? What do I need to do from beginning to end to do a podcast? What software do I need? What hardware do I need? It was funny because no one actually mentioned that you can do it as simply as having GarageBand and a laptop with a built-in mic and stuff. Although, you know, the better equipment you have, the better sounding it's going to be. So it all depends on what you want to do.
Maybe that's true.
And again, soliciting input, how dissatisfied are you with our sound quality choices? Because we're doing it the easiest possible way. But if you have decided, well, if you made it to 11 podcasts, then possibly this hasn't put you off. But if you ever attempted not to listen to us because of the sound quality, let us know. That would be a good incentive for us to upgrade.
Give us recommendations and things like that.
And we won't listen to them. So
we keep doing it. Had a party last night. I helped host a room party last night. The Gay Lexicon 2009 room party. It was pretty well received. We were up on the fourth floor, not anywhere with the rest of the parties. See, people felt that we needed to be down with the rest of the parties.
I mean, that one guy who was upset because there was nothing left in the box that he was like,
yeah, that's right. Anyway, we were up on the fourth floor, kind of out of the way of the other parties, but we still had lots of people coming up there.
That's good.
Lots of interest in our convention next year, October 2009. Gay Lexicon, GLBT Science Fiction Convention, first time in the Twin Cities.
Get that plug in there.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, Andrew signed up for Read Comics, and he was going to post about comic books and also Gay Lexicon, and still never has.
Yeah, well.
Well,
maybe now the convergence is done.
No, I think so. Mini-Con.
He signed
earlier this year.
Sorry, you're on your own.
But Jen should also post about comics
yes.
on these comics.
And I would like to. It's,
you should.
Now that all my conventions are done. So
wow.
I'll
and
have
taking the summer off from Fest.
And I'm taking the summer off from Fest. That
oh, wow, you're not doing Fest this year?
I was approved for a one-year sabbatical from
Ooh,
Fest. So
that just means...
You were approved for a
yeah.
one-year
because
sabbatical from Fest.
Because
from
I...
Fest.
From Quest.
Yeah. From Fest. What does this mean, sabbatical from Fest?
Because I'm a crafter. Out there that I'm not entertainment anymore, because entertainment has different rules than what crafters do. Crafters are like their own freakish entity out there. and I love them. But in order, basically, you have to get approval. If you want to take any amount of leave time, you have to get approval for it so that you can still come back the following year. If you just up and leave, then you have to go through the whole approval process of trying to get back in. And that's a royal pain. Excuse the pun. So
anyway, you were approved.
So I was approved.
So I have time to read comics.
I do. I have time to read comics.
And what are you going to use your sabbatical for?
Part of it is, you know, just
spend time with my new husband.
But, yeah.
Silent, but lovely.
Yes. The quiet one of the group. Who's
our
giving me maker. A look right now.
He prefers if we don't even talk about him.
So is your sabbatical to be used to be house hunting and stuff?
That's one of the hopes, is that we're going to get the house kind of... Yeah, a little help. To get the house kind of set up that so that we can sell it. And I've never had time to get my classroom, because I teach high school. I've never had the time to actually get that functioning and ready
before
the students. Before, yeah, because I'm always like the day ahead of everybody else. It's like just enough so that they can get through the day, and then I got to figure out something next for the next day, and it wears you down. So this is the first year I can concentrate on that and hopefully do good.
All because of a sabbatical from Fest.
It, you know,
Fest
it's
just like
it's kind of sad. I agree, but. The timing of it is such that from basically August to November, I do not exist in a social life. It just, there are things, yeah, because we also have there's a student organization I'm involved with, and we have conferences in October and November besides, plus we're doing our membership rush in September for that, so it's just this continuous cycle of...
So you're still booked from September to November now, but August is...
Well, and it's better, because we're not, you know, in October, we're tearing down the booth and trying to put stuff away from Fest.
Oh,
so it's kind of a dominoes effect.
And
you
your
know?
Weekends are going to be free.
Yeah, and that'll be a huge, you know...
Not having any free weekends from October...
From
August
basically
to
August to almost November.
Is
it's an energy suck to
yeah.
the 10th degree. Yeah.
I mean, I tried to do Fest one year. I lasted two weekends and said, screw this.
And I've been doing this for over 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's...
Yeah, in fact, it's...
This one-year sabbatical is like,
it's
angels
not very
on high.
Well known that my first meeting with Jen... was me screwing her over by not continuing with me. At that time, Jen was the head of the juggling booth at Fest. Marty and his brother Dan talked me into participating
yeah.
one year. I came out the first weekend, and I think I came out for one day
after
the
that.
Second weekend, and never came back.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Well, what's funny is another way that Bridget has influenced our relationship is that she warned me that after hearing that Marty had been a Festie in the past, that there was no way he was ever going to stop, that I would just never see him again in summer, and I should just prepare myself. That's what I'm ever stating.
Well, and I have a lead into that. How I met Marty was, you know, him and his brother came to the juggling booth to, you know, hey, can we work, try out sort of thing. And your brother was very good, and you were pretty good too. But Marty had this long blonde hair, and at the time I had this thing for like long blonde rocker hair. And so I'm like,
you end up with Mike.
Don't. Well, that wasn't really an end up thing, you know. But yeah, so, you know, Marty was eye candy for me at the juggling booth for a while, and, you know, now the hair is gone, so he's deceased.
Fortunately, you're not in charge of that anymore.
Oh, thank God. Yeah.
I think I've done it in the last, like, 2 or 3 years. I haven't even had a cutting out there.
Convergence Cog Stories, Marty?
From the con this year. I mean, other than my Mark and Evanier. Evanier, is that what you want to say?
I think it's Evanier.
Evanier. That just sounds so wrong to me, but I have no idea. I thought about actually going up and asking him after the panel.
Didn't they introduce him?
No.
Oh. Really?
No. Well, I walked in a little bit late, so maybe they introduced him, but there were two guys on the panel. I don't know.
They did not continue to introduce him.
Yeah,
they
certainly didn't. Yeah, exactly.
And for those of you that came in late, yeah.
Yeah. The other guy owns a couple of comic stores and had that perspective, and that was interesting, too, because, I mean, the panel is actually comics through the ages, and they talked about, you know, the Golden Age and the Silver Age and blah, 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 blah.
Did they say what age we're in right now?
I forget what Mark
he
said.
He passed us all...
He called it... Oh, he said styrofoam. He said we're in the styrofoam age.
The styrofoam. Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that like the whole wedding anniversary thing? Like the first year is paper? Maybe. You know, the...
Well, I mean, it's always you decide on the age in retrospect. I mean, the golden age wasn't the golden age when it was happening.
Yeah.
True.
It's in the 80s. You're like, oh, all those... comics from the 30s and 40s.
Before the code.
That was our golden years. That's the golden age.
Very nostalgic.
Authority.
Right, we actually went to a panel, our first panel of the convention this year, was about comic book censorship. And what the main discussion point was really the fact that a code was enacted by the comic distributors, or by the comic producers themselves, in response to a bunch of pressure to clean up comics, that they were a bad influence on children. Someone had come out with a book saying that it was making all the kids into
Seduction of the Innocents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Into murderers.
And I mean, there
people,
were also, like, you know, they were like
delinquency.
Yes.
Well, those Archie comics were from the devil. I mean,
well,
seriously.
They really were. They were racy horror and crime comics at the time that were the best sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And much more so than the superhero comics. I
yeah.
Think. And so that was what they clamped down on. Which was also, they discussed probably a conspiracy against DC, who was the bestseller at the time, who specialized in these horror and crime. So the other comic creator companies all decided, oh hey, let's get rid of that exact type of comic and try to get ahead of the legislation.
DC or EC?
DC.
Because EC is the one who published all the
really?
Horror and crime.
Yeah,
it's possible,
so
but I just misunderstood
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was EC.
Okay.
And so this, I mean, and they lobbied Congress and stuff, too. I mean, this was a really huge deal.
Right. And what time frame was it?
The 50s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and my dad's actually talked about it. I mean, he's born in 44. He talks about remembering as a kid when the transition happened. Batman comics before and after totally changed.
Really?
Yeah. And, like, thinking of the timeline, it's not clear that he would have actually remembered it at the time, or if it was, like, you know, back issues they would have read or something, but he collected comics as a kid and said that, you know, the whole Dark Knight, psychotic Batman was the Batman he remembered from when he was a kid, but it was totally cleaned up after the code into these squeaky clean, you know, throw the criminals in jail kind of attitude.
That's interesting.
Now,
I never knew that.
Interesting that we bring this up right now because on the 8th of this month, an author is... be here in the Twin Cities. David Hajdu.
I have no idea.
Hajdu.
Right.
He wrote the 10-Cent Plague,
which is a book about this. Basically.
Which is a book about
okay.
this. And he's going to be at Anderson Library on the 8th to talk about this book. And we've written about that on, Marty wrote about that on Read Comics. And I'm planning on going.
Probably yeah, I would like to go. You know, I haven't read it. I should read it before.
I haven't checked out from the library, but I've read, like, the preface, and that's it.
Nice. You should at least, like, let me see it. We're all giggling because Florence told some children
to
stop singing.
Yes, Florence hates children, especially children that sing.
Well, and I also hate children that sing, but I could never tell them to shut up. Good job, Florence.
Thank Florence you. Is a manager.
Yes.
This is what I do at Crush Dreams. You do realize, though, that they are kids, so this is merely incentive to be louder now.
I was curious about that.
Sorry.
And, well, and also, they'll stop singing for, like, 2 minutes, and then they'll have forgotten that you ever spoke to them.
Yeah. So, but, you know, a little background noise is good, because then it actually proves that we are at Convergence still. You know,
we do leave our house.
Yeah. We are in society of sorts.
Marty has been trying to say something for the past...
Sorry, Marty.
It's gone now. Whatever it was, I was going to say. Totally gone. No, I mean, I would like to read your copy that you have from the library.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That said plague.
I think it has to go back on the 10th. And I'm probably... You know what I'm going to do? I'm sure that I'll buy a copy for him to sign.
That doesn't help me reading it before we go.
Well... He probably doesn't want to read it before you go.
No, you're probably right. Like, who cares?
You know, he's going to do a talk. He's going to do a reading and do a talk. And, you know, he actually... He's not a comic book writer. He's something of a historian. And he's mostly written music biographies. He wrote one called Lush Life about Billy Strayhorn, which Steve has. So I'm going to try and get Steve's copy of that and get it signed as well.
Yeah. I remembered what I was going to say. Mark Evanier.
Oh, okay.
The writer of Brew, which I love. The writer of Brew had another point in the panel that I saw this morning about, he just had a unique perspective on comics today and how essentially they're completely dispensable. I mean, the companies that make comics today make them in order to have property that they can then sell into movies. And, you know, he was essentially saying, you know, DC and Marvel, if they stopped making comics tomorrow, it would not be a dent in there, you know, it wouldn't be like they would, you know, hurt at all. And they, you know, they probably wouldn't, it wouldn't affect them really that much.
Their profit structure.
Yeah. And both of them have dropped, DC, you know, doesn't have comics written out on the cover of their comics anymore. It's just DC, and it's an entertainment company. And Marvel has actually changed their name from Marvel Comics to Marvel Entertainment. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, essentially...
Well, and you're absolutely right, which is, it's weird when we go to Wizard World and we meet all these authors, and even the publisher, who, they're all excited about comics. They get up there and they're talking about how great comics are and how the wonderful writing and all this. And it's not them, it's not the writers or even the publisher, the editor-in-chief, none of them, they're not the ones who are making those decisions. It's the owners.
The execs and the owners, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he said, I shouldn't quote this, that he said this, but it sounded like he thought that, you know, they would essentially sell in a heartbeat to another company if it meant that their management would have a higher position in that bigger, you know, more important company. You know, he thought that would not be out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
And it's possible that bigger company would be like, oh, fuck comics. You know?
Like a GE or something? Just a random corporation looking to expand?
Well, at one time, before Marvel bought itself back, Marvel was owned by a cosmetics company.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, this in the late 80s, early 90s.
Which one was it?
Marvel was owned by a cosmetics company. I don't remember which cosmetics company it was. But they were owned by a cosmetics company. And that was shortly before they bought themselves back and then were on the verge of declaring bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. But, it's ups and downs and it's cyclical and, you know... we are celebrating kind of a renaissance, a resurgence of comic writing and everything. And we have all the movies, and it's kind of like saying, right now, you could almost say the comic fans haven't had it so good, but it's kind of teetering on the brink, you know?
But, you know, that was another thing he said, is that there was never a time when comics were not teetering on the brink. He worked for years with Jack Kirby.
Yep.
And, you know, Jack Kirby at one point told him, you know, look, I get paid the most out of anybody in comics. I am it. You know, this, my life is the best, you know, that you can expect working in comics. And, you know, he did not make a huge living.
Yeah.
Like, he was not super well paid. He didn't have health insurance until he started working in animation, I think.
Yep.
And,
well,
it's like,
he even at the top, he was treated pretty poorly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all these Jack Kirby biographies. And that's, you know, the whole reason why he left Marvel and went to DC and then went back to Marvel is, you know, he was not treated well by upper management from year to year. It changed constantly.
And Mark, the Gru guy, was saying that, you know, nobody was. Essentially, like, they would actually sort of punish, you know, artists or writers who got too big, who got too big for their britches, who got too popular, who had a big title. The guy, and I totally don't remember the name, the guy who did Batman for a long time, and, you know, who created
Bob Kane?
I don't think that's right either. He was saying one of the guys who essentially, you know, was one of the creators of Batman and created all these different hugely successful characters, was fired and made an example of because he, you know, sort of wanted more for these properties that he was, you know, creating.
It's interesting because one of the panels I went to at Wizard World had Brian Michael Bendis on it, who right now is certainly doing extremely well. But he was talking about how, I guess, Kevin Smith was mad at him for a while when he took over Daredevil because Kevin Smith had done it previously and was supposed to come back. And Bendis was told, like, oh, you can't touch this character, you can't do this, you know, until Kevin Smith comes back because he was planning some story. And then it just never happened. So, yet he said, you know, it was really through nothing he did. It was just this feeling, like, and he said that it's somewhat common, and I heard this again at the Wonder Woman panel with Gail Simone, is that often when a writer is taken off a comic, it is acrimonious. Like, it's often yanked, they don't get to plan ahead to, like, close up storylines, and then there's a weird relationship with the next writer that comes. And that it's a rare thing when the handoff is smooth and everyone maintains the relationship. So, yeah, it seems like the people who are in charge of this just don't have a lot of regard for the writers, even the big ones, when they have plans.
Yeah, and they're not looking long-term.
Right.
That was another one of Mark's points. He said, you know, essentially, they want the immediate profit, and they want, you know, a short run of, you know, 4 to 6 issues or whatever to sell really successfully. And they're not looking at what they're going to do with Superman 10 years down the line. And that's what it used to be like, apparently. You know, they used to plan really long-term, you know, plotting. And actually, another experience I had this weekend, I sat and talked briefly with Mark Wolfman, who wrote Infinite Crisis, and, you know, he kind of said the same thing, actually. He said, like, you know, back then we used to plan, you know, years ahead, and he started planning Infinite Crisis in, I think, 80 or 81, and it was
Crisis on Infinite
Crisis. Yeah. Okay.
Not Infinite Crisis.
Whatever, they're all the same.
The first Crisis on Infinite Earth was good. Infinite Crisis, not so much.
Anyway, the first Crisis. And he planned it in 81, and it wasn't, I don't think, published until
85
or 86.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So, I mean, it was like, it took him over 4 years to write this thing.
Well, and there were hints about it throughout those years.
All through that.
There would be the monitor character showing up in the shadows in one panel of a comic 3 years before Crisis ever happened.
Yep.
Just to kind of like get people to say, what's going on? And, oh my god, now he's over in this, what's going on?
That's
going
to be so satisfying as a reader to know that things were planned and coordinated. Because I think now it feels like you know, it's been 5 issues since we had a bestseller. Let's have a new big arc that we've just made up from scratch.
You know, if you listen to Brian Michael Bendis, he claims that Secret Invasion has been planned decades, which I'm like, yeah, right.
Although he was asked point blank whether the one who's now a Skrull from Daredevil, what's her
Elektra?
Face? Elektra. Whether an Elektra in a certain issue of Daredevil was a Skrull or whether she was really herself, and he said she was definitely not a Skrull. So he did not insert anything in the Daredevil title to be a precursor of that.
Well,
interesting.
And it's kind of like what's, you know, the writer's respect of the readers in that as well, because if you're able to, you know, whether it's thinking it through or having that length of time to work with, if you're a reader and you find those Easter egg sort of things, it's like, you know, it kind of makes the reader feel good about that and kind of digs them into it more.
Well, it's true, and there seem to be these two different strategies I hear about that, you know, have different fads. One of the strategies is, you know, repeat everything, give backstory for every issue to try to pull on new readers, and the other is get so deep and entrenched and long reaching in your arcs that you're really, really rewarding the dedicated buyer who will keep buying every issue for 5-10 years.
Yeah, I think that's a balancing act that a lot of, you know, the bigger titles seem to really try and walk the line. But, you know, yeah, I just don't even care about them. But another thing Mark, not Marv, said was that when he first started collecting comics, he could get every comic that came out, literally every single one, for $2 a month.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, for a while, when Sandman was still running, I was on the monthly list for them, and I was so bummed when they actually pulled it. And because Vertigo was doing it for a while, and then they stopped, and then it's like, well, is the series done? What's going on? You know, but
yeah,
it was rather nice.
So you were getting it directly from the publisher?
Yeah,
yeah, because that's different. Like,
I used to do that for Strangers in Paradise. Mm-hmm. That was the one that I subscribed because I wanted all my money to go straight to Terry Moore. He did an independent print.
Okay.
Does he still do it? I mean,
yeah,
now
we
it's
should
over,
get
but...
Echo. A direct ship too. That's what Susie does.
You can, really. Okay.
Yeah, we should do that instead of getting it from the source.
Yeah, totally.
So it gets a bigger cut.
Alright, well, we're almost at an hour, and it's pretty noisy.
I'll despite my best efforts as a bouncer.
So why don't we wrap this up for today, and we'll get Mike, and we'll finish our Wizard World wrap-up when we have Mike. And Susie, hopefully, too.
Yes, and thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Jen.
And for having Brian staying in the shadows.
And Brian has been here in spirit. We're still going to put him in our cast list.
You know, he has some comic book experience. There's one main series that I think he should talk about.
What is that?
It's called Asterix, right?
Asterix, the Gaul.
Yeah.
It's a French series.
And we are not exclusive to printed comics here, either. And I happen to know that Brian reads web comics as well.
And as do I.
But
yeah.
We should have a web comics issue.
We'll do that. We'll do that in an upcoming issue.
Yeah.
Well, I actually did get a collected web comic at Wizard World. Was it the... These Are Not the Devil's Panties or something?
Oh, you got the Devil's Panties?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love that one.
Okay, so I have it in paperback now. Collection.
Do you?
Yes, you're welcome.
Oh,
signed,
very cool.
Signed by the author.
Jenny Breeden is awesome. I actually emailed her a question about the new... I was going to get a pair of New Rock boots for the wedding. That was the pair I ordered in January, and they're still not here yet. But she is... completely awesome. I sent her an email. It's like, you know, you have these boots. What do you, you know, this is a totally unrelated comic question. Do you like them? And she was so helpful and so sweet. And
she was
Sally.
We got to meet her.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I am so jealous now.
She was really
she rocks.
And Susie got a pair of her, a deck of her playing cards.
Yeah.
Every single one is designed different.
Her character designs and her little angel devil things are just awesome.
Well, I'll have to take a look at it so I can have something to say at the webcomic. Episode.
Yeah, those playing cards were really cool. Actually.
I check her out I have some people read like the morning paper. I read the morning online comics.
Nice.
I've got 15 of them that I have to go through every day.
You should write up which ones you go to.
Okay.
That would be a really cool post.
I can do that.
I would love that. Because I tend to I have like a huge list. I have, you know, 40 or 50 webcomics that at one time I thought were good enough that I should read. And probably another 20 or 30 that I didn't even think that, but I wanted to bookmark them for whatever reason. You know, and I'm always kind of trying to figure out which ones I actually should read, you know, because there's no way I can read all those.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We'll have to have you again.
Yay.
And enjoy, everybody, this stretch of time without a convention for a little while, and we'll get caught up in all the reading and all the stuff we bought.
Yay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.